Chapter 39, Location, Above the Snowy Canyon in Utah. As Nimbus floated above the Snowy Canyon area near St. George, Utah, looking for Merlin, suddenly he saw smoke coming up and out of one of the ravines. Thinking it might be the start of a forest fire, he built quickly into a rainstorm and burst over the target. Then, without warning, a red glowing spinning disc shot right through him at lightning speed. "Wow, what was that?" Nimbus said, dropping down to the smoke billowing up and out of the ravine. As he got closer and focused, he saw a water-drenched old man patting a wet, scorched, large dog.
Hello,
Nimbus called out. The tired, chubby Merlin looked up and said,
"You must be Nimbus."
He started wringing out the sleeves of his robe.
Yes, and I'm so sorry. I only burst because I saw a fire. And, well, you know, forest fires kind of freak me out."
Nimbus descended closer to Merlin. "Are you Merlin?"
"The one and only," he said, hunting in his sleeve for his wand.
He lowered his arm and gave it a shake, and out it dropped. He grabbed the rod before it hit the ground.
"That was a good save," Nimbus said.
Do you know anything about a red glowing disc that sailed through me a while ago?"
A catastrophe, Merlin said. "Not one of my better moments."
He waved his wand, and presto, he and the dog were dry and back to normal, except for the dog's left eye. He grabbed the dog's snout and moved it from side to side.
"I don't know how this dog is going to run straight if I don't do something," Merlin said.
Yeah, but the dog is definitely a changed animal, aren't you, Whittlesby?"
The dog licked his hand and laid down.
I'm hoping I'm not intruding," Nimbus said, looking all cute and puffy.
No, I was just about to have tea."
Merlin waved his wand again, and the picnic basket appeared at the stone seat next to him. He opened it and pulled out a McGregor plaid tablecloth and spread it out on the ground. Then he summoned a tray with a steaming teapot, cream and sugar, and a plate of blueberry scones. He reached back in his large sleeve, hunting for his favorite teacup. It was made of a fine bone china with pink roses.
"Oh, here it is,"
he said, and lowered himself onto the blanket with noisy grunts and groans. He picked up his matching rose-flowered teapot and poured the brown liquid of Earl Grey into the teacup. He added a bit of cream, 3 lumps of sugar, and then stirred while looking at Nimbus.
"I wish you could join me, but I already heard that you had quite a banquet with our food and drink last night."
Merlin took a noisy slurp.
Yes, well, that was a one-time human being experience, and actually, that is why I'm here."
Nimbus was nervous to be speaking to someone so powerful as Merlin, but he continued.
Did Archangel Raphael tell you why I want to be a human being?"
"Of course, we are old friends,"
Merlin said, popping a piece of blueberry scone in his mouth. He chewed as he thought.
"I can fully understand your reasons. Apparently you are quite a quick learner and rather helpful with the angels."
"He said that?"
"Nimbus, he didn't have to. We know pretty much everything that happens with you. However, I am not convinced that you really have thought this human being business through. Being human is quite complicated."
"That's what Raphael and Michael were telling me," Nimbus said, looking shy and small.
Merlin chewed up and swallowed the last of his scone, staring at Nimbus, and then at the Irish setter.
"Are you sure you are ready for human being living?"
Yes, I think I need to experience what they experience."
"Why?"
"Well, because it will make me better at my job. You know, I am working as a cloud angel, so I have to get better and learn much more about the human being. I really botched one of my missions with Ricky and that self-storage fiasco. And it took me too long to figure out Junior's MS and Ruth's dying dilemma. So I'm not sure why I was promoted to Angel's Associate Master Class. But the worst part? Michael is fast-tracking me into the Angel's Angel Division because he wants me to head up the Angel Cloud Team program. I am so not prepared. There is no way.
Hold your horses, Merlin said.
He sipped the last of his tea and wiped out his cup.
You're saying that you can't help these humans without becoming a human being yourself? I'm sure you see the difference from just being a cloud.
Well, yes, but I don't understand them. The humans, that is, Nibis said, exasperated. I have had many experiences, and Michael has had to come to my rescue. Now, how is that fair?
What are you saying exactly?
Merlin studied Nimbus, and Nimbus couldn't speak.
It has nothing to do with fair. Life isn't a judgment, Nimbus. Every living thing has its own path and challenges. You have got to understand that if I am to make you a human being, you will still have your challenges, if not more. And you will be the one seeking out cloud angels, if that's what you want.
Well, sort of. But I guess I just need to know what they feel.
You already know what they feel. That's why you are so good at helping them.
Merlin waved his wand, and the tray with the tea set floated back into the picnic basket.
At least that's what all the archangels are talking about.
They're talking about me? Nimbus stopped drifting around and watched Merlin struggle to his feet with great effort. Why don't you use your wand to help you stand up?
I don't do magic on myself. It's not good for me. I need to stay in shape, but I still use my trusty staff.
Merlin held out his hand to the sky, and a beautiful oakwood staff with a gold-crowned handle planted itself in his hand. He leaned on it and pondered for what seemed like a long time to Nimbus.
Oh, I'll tell you what,
Merlin finally said, pointing his staff at the plaid blanket on the ground. It raised up and folded itself perfectly and dropped into the basket.
How about I make you a human being for a day? Now, I can't promise what will happen in such a day.
Really? Nimbus said, excited. A day would work.
Smashing. Come, float before me.
Merlin circled his hand and the staff changed into his wand. Nimbus scattered a little from the movement, but reformed, bobbing in front of Merlin at eye level. The Irish setter groaned and rolled over on his side to sleep. Merlin raised his wand.
Close your eyes,
he said, and continued with some this's and that's and these and those. He was more careful to include all of Nimbus this time and circled the wand expertly. But suddenly, there were two of Nimbus bobbing in front of Merlin.
Don't open your eyes, Merlin said, almost panicking.
He waved his wand quickly the other way, and suddenly there were three Nimbuses floating in front of him.
Egads, Merlin said.
Nimbus opened his eyes, all six of them. What happened? Nimbus said, staring at his other two.
Well, it's been a long time since I did a human exchange. I told you they are tricky, but then maybe clouds can't be human. I know humans can be clouds. Let me check the rules.
Merlin pinched his glasses tighter on his nose, shook his head, and out of nowhere popped a fat leather-bound book right before his eyes. The pages started flipping as he perched his lips in serious concentration. The three Nimbuses stared at each other in disbelief. Merlin, is this serious? All three asked at the same time. Can you put us back?
Yes, not a problem.
He squinted harder at the pages, flipping faster.
I'm just not ready for computers yet, so you've got to be patient.
He widened his eyes and pondered as he read.
Unfortunate.
Then he looked at the three and said,
It's impossible for a cloud to become a human being. Now I could turn you all into bats.
Bats? No, Merlin, can you just get us back to my old self? I can't stay a they. I'm having trouble enough being a me.
How about two, Merlin said, slamming the book shut with a nod and waving it away. They say two heads are better than one.
Please, Nimbus shrieked. This isn't funny. I want to be me again. Nimbus was starting to crackle and glow, all three of him.
Yes, all right. Don't have a hissy fit.
Merlin thought for a minute as he did not want to make Nimbus into a foursome. Then he raised his wand, saying a little prayer under his breath before he started.
These thises and thats are not doing the trick. Undo these theys back to one, lickety-split.
Suddenly, Nimbus disappeared, all three of him. Merlin held his breath. Then slowly, Nimbus floated back down from the sky, as bright, white, and puffy as ever. Merlin let out a huge sigh, extremely relieved that his hocus-pocus had worked. He said a silent incantation to help Nimbus with his acceptance and forgiveness. Wow, what a rush! Nimbus said, feeling for the lining of his mask. I'm back! Merlin looked up.
There you are!
He smiled as a bit of sweat rolled down his forehead and snagged in his long, curly gray left eyebrow. I think I better rethink what I was sure I wanted, Nimbus said, noticing his mask glowing.
Well, Nimbus, you do appear brighter,
Merlin said, switching his wand back to his staff. I am really relieved that I am still Nimbus the Cloud Angel.
Well, hopefully you understand that you have all the support of the higher realms, and you must know that there are no mistakes.
Then Merlin chuckled.
Except this might have been one, but we fixed it this time.
He sat down on the table rock and let out a deep, relaxing sigh.
Are you sure you don't want to experience being a bat?
Nimbus laughed. That's okay, Merlin. I think I best go see Michael and do a reassessment of my future. You know, since I've had this out-of-mass experience, maybe I'll better understand my role in the universe. I've noticed that Archangel Michael's Angel Cloud program is constantly changing. Must be a cloud influence. He will be relieved that I don't want to be a human being anymore. But I'm not so sure I want to be on the angel team anymore either.
Only you can decide what's best for you, Nimbus,
Merlin said, looking down at Whittlesby snoozing.
I, too, am reassessing my role in the universe. Age has a way of changing everything one is attached to. It's just remembering what is important and what isn't and how to let it go.
I'm not sure age has anything to do with letting go, Nimbus said.
I see your point, yes. We all have attachment issues, even clouds. Like the weather, I am finding that since change is constant, the letting go of the perceived outcome is the fastest way to move on.
You mean letting go of what you think is going to happen? Nimbus asked.
Letting go is just another way for finally understanding and then accepting what is now. One can't let go of the old until that is realized.
What is realized again? Suddenly Nimbus was confused.
That everything changes and will continue to do so. You wanted to be a human being. Why? Because you were doubting yourself as a cloud. Who you really are. You thought you would better understand if you were one of us, but we all are the same in the scheme of things, Nimbus. Do you understand?
Well, I understand that I am so grateful that I didn't become one of you. No offense, but because I do see the similarities.
Well, that's a start then.
Yes, and thank you so much for helping me let go of wanting to be something I'm not, Nimbus said and started floating up.
You're welcome,
Merlin said, smiling up at Nimbus. He then gave the Irish setter a nudge with his foot.
You're next, Whittlesby.
The dog opened his one good eye and said, Hooty-hoo!
Oh, bloody hell!